Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Edge Talk Radio Show with your host, Angela Zabel. Are you ready to dive in deep and expand your consciousness? Together, helping you on your journey, answering your questions to understand us, this world, and beyond. Connecting, making our lives better, easier, and more joyful. Come learn with me. Relax. Be curious, and let's have some fun. Join me today. Welcome, everyone, to Edge Talk Radio with Angela Zabel. That's me. And I am, for those of you who don't know me much, I am a teacher, coach, and a medium, and you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Right for Edge Magazine. I get to host this amazing show, and you can find out more about me at angelazabel.com. And please go in and check out the past shows on Edge Talk Radio because there are some great episodes. And for those of you looking for more information, check out the Edge Magazine at edgemagazine.net. And now tonight we are also going to have Jody Jacobson, and she is on MidwestWitcheryHealing.com. So Jody is someone I have been so excited to have on, especially at this time of year towards Halloween, because Jody, it's like she's a witch. She's a real witch. So let's check her out. I really want to dive in deep on her. And the other thing is with Jody, she has a great background. So she is an RN. She's been doing a lot of herbalist and Reiki and witchery and crystals, and she creates unique items with love and moon phases. There is so much going on with her, and I love her aspect that she does the gardening. She is got so many different things with her. I would like to welcome Jody in here tonight. Let's see if we can get her on. Jody, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. So Jody, I am so excited to have you on. You are with Midwest Witchery, and you are out of Stillwater, Minnesota. Is that correct?
Yes, it's called Midwest Witchery and Healing, and it's located right in downtown Stillwater, Minnesota.
I love that. So I was looking through your background, and the one thing that really came, that kind of stuck out to me is it says you've been practicing witch for over 40 years. And you do, it's on the list, a couple of other things. It says you do solitary and covens. I'm not even sure quite what those are, but you've completed witchcraft one, witchcraft two, and you've learned under Lori Cabot in Salem, Massachusetts. So one of the things I kind of want to dig in a little bit with you is you wanted to study with Lori Cabot from Salem. And for those of you who don't know, Lori kind of started a lot of the stuff going on in Salem, making it really what it is today with all the readers and the shop. And can you kind of let me, like, what was your thinking on wanting to work with Lori and going to Salem to study some of that?
Well, certainly. So, yes, I have been a practicing witch over 40 years. I am in my mid-50s. And, I started young. And when I was a young girl, there wasn't a lot of availability as far as books or anything to kind of help you. So I kind of had to do it on my own. So hence solitary. So you practice on your own. As I got older, and we'll go into this a little bit later in the show, I'm sure, but I was able to drive over to the Twin Cities, go to occult bookstores, and kind of learn a little bit more in tandem. When I was about a sophomore in high school, I was watching Oprah Winfrey, and Lori Cabot came on because The Witch of the Eastwick, the movie, was a big thing. And so Lori Cabot came on and is like, hey, you guys, Hollywood, we love you, but quit villainizing us. You make us the Wicked Witch of the West, like in The Wizard of Oz. You're always making this about devil worship. You're making it about negative things. And she was trying to set the persona that that's not what we are. We are healers, we're educators, we are from a very soft, loving community, and I was just kind of blown away by her, and I'm like, holy moly, I need to meet this woman. So I time goes on and, you know, you have kids, you get married, all that kind of good stuff. And I didn't really think too much about it, you know, and I had joined covens here in the Twin Cities, and I had practiced solitaire. And I mean, I just kind of did my thing. I had a distinct opportunity to go out to Salem, Massachusetts back in 2015. And I went to her store because they knew she would, you know, she had a place out there. And I just wanted to get a reading. I mean, she was kind of my like little idol, my celebrity idol that you wanted to meet. And of course, she was booked up and I could not have a booking with her, which was fine. You know, so I'm just kind of browsing around in the shop and I'm not thinking too much of it. She came out of the back room. She was coming out from having a reading from somebody else. And she literally was like walking down like a pathway or a hall in her store. And she's looking at me and she started shaking her finger at me. And all I could think of was, oh, crap, what did I do? Did I touch something? Did I do something wrong? You know, and she goes, did anybody ever tell you you're a healer? And I'm like, okay. And she goes, I see it. I can read your aura. You are a very powerful healer. What do you do for a living? And I'm like, I'm a nurse. And so we struck a little conversation. Now, it didn't go very far or anything, but I was just like in awe that she could take that from me. I mean, I'm standing there in a pair of shorts and a V-neck plain T-shirt from Target that was like probably burgundy or something, you know, nothing special. And there's no way she would have known I was a nurse. There's just no way, you know, and just some random customer off the street. So I, you know, finished my shopping and went to check out. And the gentleman behind the counter, his name was Brian. And Brian said, do you realize that Lori Cabot has classes? And I said, what? And he goes, yeah, she's got classes. And so I was like, no, I had no idea. And my husband happened to be with me, and he's like, you got to do it. So I signed up, and she was booked out quite a bit. It took me another year and a half before I could actually get into her classes. But I started taking her classes, and I took witchcraft. You know, it's called Witchcraft 1. The second course is called Witchcraft 2. And so okay. I was able to do that. So that's why I'm a second degree Cabot witch, because Lori Cabot has her own temple, and it's called the Hermetic Temple, and the Cabot Kent Hermetic Temple, and it's based out of Salem, Massachusetts. And there's quite a few followers. I want to say she has probably over 10,000 people that follow her and that are part or have gone through her studies. People who are listening who know witchcraft, a little bit, Christopher Penzek, who is a big name, Matt Arren, who is the author of Psychic Witch and the brand new one, Mastering Magic. They are Cabot brethren, so they are actually Cabot witches themselves. So, yeah, that's how I kind of got into it, and that's how I studied under her. My class was the very last class that was held in person before the pandemic took place. She continues to do classes that are virtual and online, but I was one of the last classes that actually went through where I got to sit right in front of her. And she is such, oh my gosh, pretty cool. She's just such an amazing woman. And the presence, just to be in her presence is just like, you're just kind of starstruck. She is so knowledgeable. And she is such a, she's just very enlightened is, I guess, the best way for me to put it. She just eludes healing. She eludes magic out of her. She's just a phenomenal woman. Yes, she made Salem what it is today. She's the official witch of Salem, Massachusetts. She's done an awful lot for the pagan community around the world. She's just an amazing, amazing teacher. And I'm very fortunate and proud to be able to be one of her subjects or her the students.
That's awesome. And I've got to say, I got a chance to go to Salem, Massachusetts a few years ago. And because synchronicity is what it is, I ended up in talking with different people that were actually on the board, where out there they have to certify readers before they're even allowed to be readers in Salem, Massachusetts. Yeah. And they have to go in front of a board of peers, and they have to deem that they're doing things that are going to be helpful and healing to people, and those that don't come from that better space aren't allowed to read in Salem, Massachusetts. So I thought that was absolutely
amazing.
True.
That is true, and I am actually very fortunate because one of those readers happens to live here in Minnesota, and she was certified and licensed, and she actually worked out in Salem for a couple of, you know, for a couple of Halloweens. In fact, she was out there last year for Halloween, and she actually works at my store. She's one of my actual readers here in Stillwater.
Wow, that is her, so cool.
Her name
is,
her name is Tara.
Nice.
Yeah, and yeah, Tara is fantastic, and she's there every weekend. And she, yeah, she is a very genuine reader. When people, I do have different providers at my store, and so when, I'm sorry, my little dog is going to make little noises, so I apologize in advance. He's got to go out. It's real life. But anyway, when people come to my store, I'm very cautious about who I choose to be readers for me, just like they are out in Salem. So they have to go through an audition process. And you go through a couple steps and stages and auditions so that when you're coming in, I want to feel your energy. I want to know that you are who you say you are and you're true to your word. I don't want anybody coming in that is, in all essence, fake. I don't want any theatrics. I want them to come in and be genuine, because people come to readers and they're looking for answers. Sometimes they're looking for big answers. Sometimes they are just looking for fun because, hey, I'm out on a girl's weekend or I'm out on a birthday weekend and they just want to have fun and giggle, and that's fine. But there are some people that come in and they're really at a crossroads and they're like, I don't know what to do. This is what's been going on and I really need some help. I need some guidance. And so I want people who are going to be able to actually help others, because I'm all about helping people.
And that's, I think, so very important. And I think always it's important, but I think especially now, because, I mean, there is a change in the energy and more people are looking for more answers. People are questioning. People are seeking information and seeking knowledge more of who they are. And that's one of the things I love, how you really pay attention to the people you have in your own place and the people you work with, where they're coming from, that heartfelt, that heart energy. And that's something I think a lot of people would sometimes question. You know, the first connotation you come up with is witch, is you're bad, you're evil, you kind of come with all this. What has been the biggest aspect you have kind of faced between before, when you first started out as a witch and saying who you were and explaining who you are, to now? Has there been a big difference, a shift in what people's perceptions are?
Absolutely. There's been a huge shift in perception. You know, back in the 1980s and even in the late 70s, if you said that word, people kind of steered away from you. They were kind of creeped out, or they thought you were just plain nuts, you know, one or the other. So you did kind of keep it more quiet. But let's look at the 1980s, because, you know, of course, I graduated in the 80s. If you think about the way the culture was, things were way different. You know, like MTV was just starting. You had a lot of videos and stuff, a lot of propaganda and whatnot. But even gay rights, people were afraid to come out of the closet because they were being beaten. Well, if you were a witch or you were something different, you were ostracized and you were pushed out of your community also. So I was very quiet about it. I knew what I was doing. I knew what I believed. I just kept my mouth shut. And just like most, you know, people in our culture, you're raised in a Christian faith, because that is what America is. We are mainly Christians. And I'm not, you know, going to get into religion aspects of everything right now, but, you know, that was the most forefront religion in the 80s, at least where I grew up. And if you came out and said, hey, I'm a witch, they probably would have sent me away to some kind of a, you know, pray it away type thing, you know. So very quiet, very closed about what you did. And you practiced your magic in the, you know, behind closed doors, in the dark. You weren't going out and seeing. You didn't wear maybe your magical jewelry, like your pentagram or your pentacles or anything like that. You were very cautious about what you did. We're now in this day and age, it's way different. People are very open about their religion and about their practices as being pagan, whether you practice Norse paganism, whether you consider yourself a witch or maybe a bruja, or even people who practice the hoodoo culture, which I do not, but there are practitioners out there that do. And it's a little bit more palatable is the way I'm going to put it. People are more accepting of it. Here in the Twin Cities, we have Paganicon. We have Pagan Pride. We didn't have stuff like that back in the 80s and 90s, if you think about that. So we've come a long way. And when I opened my store here in town, I just opened it April 30th, I didn't know. I'm in a conservative town. I did not know how it was going to be perceived, but this was a 20-year dream. It was a 20-year manifestation for me. And when I did this, I'm like, well, here we go. We're going to make it or break it, right? And it has been so well received in the community. I've had a couple people come up, nervous, and they'll like look in the door and it's like, come on in. It's okay. We're not scary. Come on in. And people will come in and they'll ask, well, what does witchery mean? Well, witchery is a place where there is witchcraft supplies. It means that it's a place of healing, and people will ask the definition. When people ask me, what is the definition of witch? The true definition of a witch is a wise woman. That is honestly the true definition. If you think about witches, and you go back in time, they were midwives, they were healers, they were medicine people, medicine men, medicine women. That's what we did. We helped others. That's all we ever did. So that's not a scary thing. It's actually, in a way, a form of a doctor or a nurse. Hence, I'm a nurse. I've been practicing nursing for over 20 years. So this is my world, and they just go hand in hand together.
And that's something, like you said, you started 40 years ago. How did your family react to any of this, or did you just not tell them?
Oh, well, when I first realized, I don't believe in what I'm hearing in the church, I believe something different, and I kind of tested the waters, so to speak, with what I believed with the environment around me, and I'm talking about the elements, the earth itself. And I realized that I can manipulate energy and do different things. I told my mom, and my mom looked at me. I'm an only child. My mom looked at me. She giggled at me, and she's like, okay, whatever, Jody. Okay. So I didn't think really much of it. I just kind of went about and did my thing. And when I started balking at the fact that I didn't want to go to church anymore, she was like, well, I don't understand. And I said, well, I just don't like it. It's too political. It's too this. It's too that. I don't want to do it. She just looked at me and she goes, well, that's your choice. You can do that. That's okay. And she was actually okay with it. She would ask me. She was inquisitive. More, well, what does it mean? How does this work? That kind of stuff. Certain friends in high school knew certain, classmates and certain relatives even knew that I was a little bit different. I don't want to say I was the black sheep, but they just all thought, oh, it's just Jody. She's just kind of weird that way. They didn't really think too much of it. So it was never really a big problem for me. When I decided to open the store, my mother fell ill in February, and I'm opening the store in the spring. I think it kind of shocked a few of my relatives, because here we are doing all this and I'm opening it. My mom is at my big ribbon cutting ceremony and all this kind of stuff. Literally what happened is I had my ribbon cutting ceremony July 21st this year, and my mother passed 3 days later. So of course I had a funeral and everything right afterward. And I got a few strange looks at the funeral, I won't lie. But they would come up and they would ask me if I was okay with God. And I said, you know what? I am A-okay with God. You don't need to worry about me. I am just fine. I am happy. I am proud of what I do. My mother was proud of me. And that's really all that mattered to me, that my family, my true family, my mom and my children and my husband supported me, and every single one of them does. And, my best friend supports me. The people who really matter in my life, they all back me 100%. And, you know, if I would have looked back and did this maybe in the early 1990s, I don't know how much backing I would have got. I think people would have been real skeptical or maybe kind of pulled away from me and just been a little bit nervous around me. So I do think society has changed, and a lot of that, social media. Look at TikTok. Look at Twitter. Look at your Facebook. Look at your Instagram. It's kind of scary because a little bit of it is almost like a fad in a way. So you're kind of like, huh, are you sure you're really practicing this, or are you doing it just for the aesthetic of it, you know? So you may have some people that are like, you know, and that's okay. They'll figure themselves out. And, you know, I'm not one to judge. But the people who truly have been called or realize that this is their way, they seek teachers, they seek the people that are in the craft to be able to help them to learn the ways. And I get a lot of people walk in, you know, because I'm known as Witch Jody all over social media these days. People will come in and just look to me for just guidance. Like, I've got depression, anxiety. What stone do I need? And I'll be like, grab an amethyst. It's a really good one to help calm. It helps to, you know, get that depression a little bit less. You know, it's a good grounding stone. And so, you know, they'll come in and, you know, just it's the little bits that I can put out there for humans. And it doesn't cost anything to ask me questions. That's what I'm here for. You know, I want to educate. I want to help. I am offering classes. I mean, I've had a couple of classes already, and I'll continue doing them all through the fall and winter too. So, you know, there's always an old, you know what, the way I'm going to put it is, a very dear friend of mine that is a witch, and we've lost her now. She has passed. But she once said to me, she goes, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I truly believe that.
I love that saying. It's really all about synchronicity. When things need to happen and people are ready and open for it, everything falls into place. The people they need are right there. Yeah. And that's something I think a lot of people, they kind of get stressed out, like, how am I going to learn or where am I going to get it from? But if they're wondering that, a lot of times they're not quite ready to dive in. And as soon as they are, everything falls into place.
And that's true. It was like, you know, with the store. I wanted to do it. And then we had the pandemic, and Lori Cabot looked at me and said, why don't you have a store open yet? And I said, I don't know. And she goes, well, get on it. And I'm like, I don't know the first thing about doing this. I'm a nurse, dude. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'll tell you what, a year ago, I am not even kidding you, a year ago, this last June, a year ago, I met Tyler, who was the one that helped me write my business plan. And by November, last year, November, he told me, do you have a place yet? We're ready to rock and roll. All you need to do is find a place to rent. We're going to submit for a business loan and you're good to go. And I about died. I was like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, okay. And then, when I was ready in January, all of a sudden the place that I stumbled into was like, it was just there after nothing. It was just there. So I called, I toured it. And when I walked into the place where my store is today, the visions just flew out of my head. I knew exactly the way it was going to look. It was just how I had always dreamed it. And I felt like somebody was giving me a warm embrace, like a hug. I felt at home. I before we even finished touring it, I looked at the guy and I said, how much money do I need to put down on it today? This is it. And I called Tyler, and I had the keys within a few weeks after going through all the legalities. And here I sit. I mean, it was a whirlwind. It was a whirlwind for me.
I love how when things are ready to go, they move so quickly. And, you know, there's a lot of people now that kind of feel, I've been hearing so many people that they just feel stuck. They feel stuck on things. And have you found that with what you do can help people find that next step to kind of release them from that feeling of being stuck?
Absolutely. Not everybody, but the majority, absolutely. Because when they come in and they ask questions, most of them are ready because they're ready to hear some type of an answer, you know, why they feel this way, or they just want to be told, this is how they come to me and say, this is how I feel, and I don't feel like this is normal. And it's so, empowering for them to hear, it absolutely is normal. You're going through a transition. You're going through an enlightenment. You are discovering things that you've been programmed your whole life to realize, to say no to. No, I can't do this. You're a medium. Let's talk about that. You can hear the dead. You can see the dead depending, they will channel through you depending on how your mediumship works. The fact is our whole life, when we're sitting and talking to our imaginary friend, Susie, everybody's told you, well, Susie's really not there because if I can't see it, it can't be real. We had to reprogram our thought process because that's not true. Our whole lives we've been told, magic's not real. This is not real. That's not real. It's only one way. It's this and nothing else. And we're reprogramming. The younger generations, they're more open to it because over time, society has changed their ways about how they live their life and how they look at religion and how they're going to practice things. And I do think it makes a big difference. Yeah, I help a lot of people for them to learn that it's okay to feel this way. It's nothing to be afraid of. Now that you realize this is happening, what's the next step? And then I can help guide them. Maybe they're looking to meet up with somebody to do more mediumship. Maybe they're looking for somebody to teach them tarot. Maybe they're looking for somebody just to point out the right book for them to figure out what path they want to follow. Or they're looking at crystals because they want to understand them more. It just kind of depends on that human. But I get a lot of people in that are looking for that. And I can't tell you how many times I have parents walking in with young children. And I'm talking ages like 4 to 6, 7 years old. And moms and dads are like, yeah, our kid's really into this. And she's telling us she's a witch. And she's telling us that, in previous lives, this, that, and the other happened. And they look at me with these great big giant eyes because they're scared half to death. And they're like, we don't know what to do. I have children's books to help guide them. But I look at these parents and I say, number one, kudos to you. I'm proud of you for taking this step and helping your child to seek the answers that they deserve. That's huge.
I agree with you on that one. I have been seeing so many more parents and families and children coming. And to me, I'm just like, I'm so thankful that these parents are taking the time to explore what their kids are talking about, because these kids are born in a whole new energy. They're so much more open than what we were when we were younger. And honestly, like you were talking about those invisible friends, those invisible friends, as you get older, you start realizing like, oh my God, those are the people there supporting me that were in the non-physical. And so many people are told they're not real. And it's like, they are so real. Who do you think is there supporting you? We're not on this journey on our own.
Right. It could be, it's their spirit guides. It's that, some people will call them their angels. It's like an ancestral, heritage that's come down to help you through your lineage. There's so many different things. And yeah, it's the perception alone has changed. And right now, of course, as the veil is thinning. And for those that are listening that don't understand that, you celebrate Halloween. I call it Samhain. It is a witch's new year. And that veil thins where communication between the realms of the dead and the living are thinner. It's just easier. The energy shifts because of the polarity of the earth. And so in the spring and in the fall, it gets a little easier for those to communicate. That's why, and of course, you're I don't want to call it your candy companies, but your Hollywood dramas and all that, they're going to ramp up on all this. But honestly, there is something to be said about it. I mean, it is a little bit easier. You know, you do hear things more easily. I can't tell you how many times when people will walk in and be like, so I was just falling asleep and I heard somebody call my name. And I'm like, cool, who was it? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, go home and meditate on that. See if they'll come back and talk to you again. It could be a relative. It could be a spirit guide. It could be just the neighbor that passed away a couple of years ago. Their ghost walking through your house. I don't know. But pay attention to it. You know, there's exactly. So much going on.
So when you're, and for me, that's what I tell people all the time. If you're hearing something, sensing something, say hello and try to say, yep. Hey, come on a little closer. Let's talk. Let's see what you have to say, or just feel them. And just feeling them so many times, you'll be able to start discerning, you know, like either who are they, or just feeling that love, because there's so much love coming from the other side if you're open to receiving it.
Exactly.
And, you know,
and you know as well as I do, for generations and generations, we've been closed off to that because we've been told to shut it down.
Because it's evil. I mean, honestly, let's be honest. A lot of times it's been told it's evil. And when people ask me, like when you were talking about being younger and coming out, and for me, when people ask me how long I've done it, I always say in the closet or out of the closet, because I was in the closet a long time because I didn't want people to commit me, to be honest with you.
Oh, I hear ya.
You know, and that's the thing with, you were just talking about Halloween and how you call it differently and you celebrate differently. Can you kind of go into a little bit of what you do as a witch to celebrate and to kind of bring in this Halloween season?
Absolutely. So for me, like I said, Samhain is a witch's new year. It was an old Celtic, actually, you go back to medieval time, European time. It was a fire festival. So you have three harvests in the year, in the fall. You know, and even here in America we do. You think about in August, you know, you start baling your hay, you start baling your straw, that kind of stuff. You start doing it in August. That's your very first harvest, which is called Mamas. The second one is in September, which is Mabon, which a lot of people know it's the fall equinox, but that would be your second harvest, your fruits. So think about your apples are starting to come, you know, to full harvest. So are your squashes. Some of your kale, that kind of stuff, you know, you've got your second harvest. And then the third harvest, your big harvest. So you think about it. What do you see out in the fields right now? You got the corn combines out there. They're taking the last of the corn down, the wheat down, the soybeans. They're cleaning that up. So they would have this big harvest festival. And they usually did it at the end of October. Now, there are different ones. Now, the Celtic one, the Celtic Samhain, is actually on the 25th of October this year. Here in America, we still celebrate it as Halloween on the 31st. And then there is, I can't remember what area it is, but there's another one that you go by so many days after the new moon in October, which is going to bring you into around the 4th or the 7th of November. So there's different variations depending on where you come from. But the whole point was this harvest festival. Back in the old days, your village would get together. You would bring, you know, you would take so much out for your family and put the rest to like the storage for the town so that everybody could come and pull from it so that nobody starved through the winter. And you would share things, and it was a big, huge celebration to prepare for the winter time, to keep the families alive through the cold, barren time. And that's where, it basically came from. When Christianity did their big form coming through, any pagan holiday, they put a Christian holiday to it. So it Christmas time, we would call it Yule. They have a Christmas, it's Christ's birth. In the spring, we have Ostara, and they have Easter, which is Christ's resurrection. So, you know, you always had something. Well, at Halloween, the Catholics love to celebrate All Saints Day. It happens to be November 1st. What do you do at All Saints Day? Well, you honor the dead. So what do we do, what I do on Halloween or on Samhain, I set a table for the dead. And yes, I actually set a table at my dining room table with my grandmother, who passed away many years ago, her beautiful china, and I have a feast, and I have a place setting for the dead. And it's left there so that the rest of the family eats around it, and that one sits empty. And that's for the dead, and I have all the pictures of my dead relatives, ancestors, loved ones, animals. They're all there. And that's what I celebrate. I generally also do a ritual. I do a Samhain ritual. Because it's our new year, we gather and we talk about, and, you know, and this is me and my children, and sometimes my best friend, Sarah. It depends on what's going on in our world, you know. We talk and we release. So everything that happened over the last year, you burn and send it out into the universe. It's over. It's done with. Then we sit down and we write our wishes for the new year, what we want to bring. You know, do we want good health. We want our family to be safe. Maybe you're looking to get a new house. I need this new house. I need this job promotion. Whatever it is that you're bringing into the new year. And we bind that up. We do our little, you know, ritual spell work. And we burn it and release that out into the universe so that, that can come back to us over the next year. And that's what I personally do. Now, this year, be a little different. I own a store. So even though we're usually closed on Mondays, we are actually going to be open on All Hallows Eve. And we're going to have all sorts of cool stuff. So I have all these different practitioners. Like I said, I've got Wes, who is fairly new with us. And he is from New Orleans. And he actually used to read tarot at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in New Orleans. Very unique individual. Very loving. He is a hoodoo practitioner. So he knows a lot about root work and stuff like that. Very, very good. He's also a medium. He is going to be hosting. We are going to have two live seances. The first one at 7 p.m., the second one at 8:30 p.m. Now, there are limited seats. There's only 10 seats per seance. So go out onto my website or go find me on Facebook and find the event and sign up for it and pay for it in advance, because there will be no seating left by the time that day comes around. But we're going to do that. We're going to have tarot reading. We're going to have little prizes that you can come in and sign up for drawings. You know, I'll be talking about different herbalism with, you know, to teach people. Wes is going to talk a little bit about root magic. We'll have Tara there reading cards. I'll have Jess, the Mystic Geek, is going to be in and doing stuff. Jay Ryan from Tarot Divergent will be there. I've got people who throw the bones. I've got mediums. I've got it all. So we are going to have an amazing day, an amazing evening. There'll be something for everybody. But that's what we're going to do this year to celebrate the new year for Samhain. How about you? What are you going to do?
It's making me wish I lived closer to you, because I would love to go. So for me, my family is a little bit different in the fact of I actually have two of my close family members that have their birthdays on holidays. So I actually have my husband's birthday on Halloween. So we will be celebrating his birthday. And also,
is it a
when
big
we
birthday
do
for him? Is he turning like the big 3-0, the big 4-0, the big 5-0? Is it a big birthday for him?
No, not a big birthday, but a birthday where he actually can celebrate the day. A lot of times it doesn't happen where he doesn't have to work. So this year he doesn't have to work.
Sure.
So we are going to take the time and enjoy it. And also with you, when you were talking about the thinning of the veil, to me, that's also a time for me to invite those in that are all around us. So I invite our family members and friends that have passed and invite them to celebrate with us at the same time also. And I love
doing that.
And I think that's something a lot of people forget about, is when you're having a celebration, invite them in. Even if you don't set the table, at least invite them in and ask them to join with the festivities. I think it's so important to include those on the other side.
Well, and just think about them for that from the other side. They're over there going, oh, my gosh, they remembered. You know, that, you know, and I'm actually looking forward to it. Like I said, with my mom just passing in July, my mom has been very prevalent, and she talks to me an awful lot. And I didn't expect that right away, you know, to be honest. It was kind of cute because my mom and I, we were really close. And so before her passing, I had been telling her, because she was sick with cancer and she had congestive heart failure, and I had kept saying, you know, Mom, I'm going to be okay. So whenever you feel you have to go, it's okay. Now, that's a part of a nurse thing. We do that. And, of course, I didn't want her to go because, you know, you love your parents. But I knew already when we first got her diagnosis, which ironically, and this is the honest to God true story, mom called me and she was having pain in her leg. And I said, you know what, Mom, we can't be messing around with this. You better go into urgent care. It could be a blood clot. You know, she had heart issues. So you just never know. So I get over to the clinic and, you know, we're standing there, we're doing our thing. They ship her over to the ER because they want her to get an ultrasound right away and all that kind of good stuff. And they come back and they say, so did you realize that you have kidney cancer? It was my birthday. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I hear in my head, I am not even jiving with you here. I hear in my head, she's going to die in July. And I'm like, the first thing I did is I looked at the ceiling and said, are you kidding me? And my mom goes, kidding you? What are you talking about? Because, you know, she obviously didn't hear my spirit guides or whoever was talking to me. And I thought, I've got this going on with my mom. I just got the keys to my new store. I'm supposed to be doing this stuff with this new store. And now Mom is going to pass it. You know, it's like I was a little overwhelmed. I was really overwhelmed. But now, you know, after she, you know, when we had talked, she was like, I told her, I said, you know how it is. I talked to your mom. I know when your mom is around, this, that, and the other. I said, it's going to be the same with you. And she goes, I just don't know how it all works. I said, well, you're not meant to until you get over there. Once you get over there, you'll figure it out. And it was so funny. I was having a moment, and it was like a couple of weeks after she passed, and I was just having that moment of sadness. And I had to leave the store, and I had to go up, you know, to like Office Max or something. I don't remember where I was going, but it was in her car because I have her car at this point. You know, I acquired it. And I put my hand over, like she was sitting in the other seat, and I have my hand over there, like, you know, I'm wanting her to hold my hand. And I go, you know, I really miss you, Mom. I really, really could use some words of encouragement. And I hear her in her little smart aleck voice go, you promised you were going to be okay. What is this shit? And I go, oops, excuse me for saying that. I said, Mom, I said, you know, I'm still human, and it's okay for me to be sad, and I can cry, but I am okay. And she giggled, and she goes, well, then. And I said, I just miss you. And I am not even kidding. The radio went static, and then all of a sudden, words from a song come through, and it's the song, I'll Be There. And it's like, I'll be there when you're sad. I'll be there when you're lonely. I'll be there when you're afraid. And she said her little bits, and then the radio fritzed out again, and it went to a different station. I've never had the car ever do that to me. So that was my mom, obviously. And we just kind of got a giggle out of it. And now every once in a while, I just get a giggle from her. She'll just be like, hey, how's your day going? And she just kind of giggles at me. So she's been very prevalent and kind of listening around. And if something's going on with one of my family members and I'm questioning something, I can just kind of like listen for her to see if she has a comment. Sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. You know, I heard her the one day going, so this isn't as bad as I thought it would be. Like, you know, the communication thing. She always wondered how it worked. Now she's kind of getting it. And I think that that's kind of comical because people don't know. None of us know until we cross that barrier. And I'm sure you've heard the dead talk to you that way too, where it's like
they're very like surprised.
Yeah, they are. They're surprised.
I think that's the funnest thing is sometimes when you get people where in life they were like, oh, that stuff's just a bunch of hooey and whatever, and
yeah,
and then once they pass, they're like, why didn't I know it was this cool? You know, I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know I could come back.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could hear me, you know? And it's like, they were just this surprise that someone could hear them. And I think for people that have lost people to realize, just start reaching out, keep talking, keep inviting them in, and they're more than happy to come and see you and communicate with you in so many different ways.
And the thing is, you may not hear them right away. That's okay. Most people dream of their loved ones, and it's their loved ones checking in. And the difference between an actual just, you know, a dream and something a little bit more of a communicative, you know, situation from spirit, I always look at it as how vivid was your dream? Because if you have an extremely vivid dream and you can remember it and you remember the words, you remember what was going on and there was a message to be had there, you're gonna remember that. When you're just dreaming as dreaming, you know, you have a whole bunch of dreams in a night because that's just the way your brain works. You generally don't remember them. You just generally don't remember them. I encourage those out there who maybe are sad or are really missing a loved one out there, put a piece of paper, like a little journal, you know, just go to Walmart or wherever, get a cheap notebook and a pen, pencil, whatever. When you wake up, even if it's 2 a.m, you wake up and you remember a little dream, write down the details that you can remember, you know, go to the bathroom, get your glass of water, go back to sleep. But go back and do that and then start paying attention to the patterns you're seeing. Believe it or not, you're going to see a pattern. You're probably going to have somebody trying to come through to you. Just remember, even if you don't necessarily want to believe all this, that's fine. But still say hi. You can say I love you. You can say I miss you. You can say whatever it is that you need to say. They hear you. Just remember, they can hear you. You know, if you don't want to hear them back, that's okay too. But they can hear you. So you can at least get your message over to them. Never think that, you know, for all those people that think, I never had that chance to say goodbye, say it now. I'm sorry, you know, for this. I'm sorry for that. I love you. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to you, so goodbye. But maybe it's not really goodbye. Maybe it's so long for now. You know, there's so much that we can do and teach each other.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something I think it's so important for people to realize and to know that they're always available. And I think that's something when people think of witches, they're thinking it's, you know, you're connecting with those on the other side that aren't coming from a good space. But what you're trying to tell, I believe, is that you're coming from a space of bringing loved ones in and connecting with loved ones on a day-to-day, on a regular basis. And, you know, I like to tell people, if they were here supporting you in life, why would they stop supporting you after they pass?
Right, exactly. I know my mom is around. I tell you what, every morning, and again, it's a witch thing, and a lot of people do this, whether you drink coffee, whether you drink tea, whether you just drink a soda pop in the morning, glass of water, whatever it is that you do, I stir into my coffee every morning some cream because I drink cream with my coffee, and I stir in an affirmation every morning. And then as I stir in my affirmation, I'm asking for things for, you know, whether it's for my store, whether it's for my family, like, you know, if my son isn't feeling well, hey, you know, make sure that his immunity builds up so he doesn't get sick, whatever the case is. So I put these affirmations in, and then I go into work. And when I go into my store, and I am honest to God, 100% honest with this, I'll be driving to my store, and I'll be, hey, Mom, why don't you go out there and wrangle up some good customers today? I really could use some good sales today. That'd be really great. You know, we're coming into a big weekend. Make sure that they're not all hanging out on the north end of town. Make sure that they're leaving the festival and coming down my way. And she listens.
I love that.
Because the last few weekends on Saturdays have been record-breaking. I'm like, I'm going to start doing that all the time now. I'm going to ask them.
They're always there to help us. You know, and then you've got her helping you. And that's the one thing I think people don't realize is they can help so much. But a lot of people, when they think of witches, then they start thinking of like the black magic and the dark spells and that part of it. What do you say to people if they're coming in and kind of like, you know, what do you do for black magic?
Asking about
black magic? What's that?
No. And they ask about that. This is what I say. That's a lot of Hollywood propaganda right there. You know, all the scary stuff. Now, is there dark magic? Yes, because I want you to think about this. Because magic is not black, nor is it white. Because
right.
Everything has an opposite. If you have a sun, you have a moon. If you have light or daytime, you have darkness. You have nighttime. For black, you have white. There's always an opposite. So what I have learned over the years is nothing is necessarily true black nor white. It's a mixture of color. And so what I tell people is I am not going to go out and do any kind of baneful or harmful magic toward another individual, because I believe that if I'm going to do something to move energies, to change my course, my path course, right, I want to do it for the positive, because I want good things to come my way. If I'm going to do something nasty to somebody, I have to remember whatever I put out is going to come back at me threefold. So if I do something nasty to somebody, it's going to come back in and bite me in the hiney a couple of times over. I'd rather not have that happen. So I don't do that. I don't do the cursing. I don't do the hexing. I don't believe in that. There are people that do stuff like that. And again, it's a lot to do with culture and what they believe. But that is not something that I practice. And I would probably want to educate somebody who came in and said, I don't know, I want to curse my ex-boyfriend because he was cheating on me with my best friend. I might look at them and say, did you ever think that maybe it was a blessing in disguise? Do you really want to be with somebody like that? If they're going to cheat on you once, they might do it again. And if they did it with your best friend, you really don't want to be with somebody like that, because they're not being fair to you. They're not honoring you. Maybe this breakup was something that you needed to get rid of the people in your life that no longer meld with your energy and are not jiving on your frequency. You need something better. And a lot of times people look at you and go, I never thought of it that way. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, it's a good way to think about it. But, you know, yeah, I've had people come in and ask, you know, can you get rid of this? Can you get rid of that? And I'm like, nope, I can't do that. But what I can do is this, you know, I can help protect you. I can help help you with a self-love spell to encourage yourself to love yourself a little bit more and to, you know, build your own self-esteem, that kind of stuff. And people are more receptive to that, because once they hear, oh, yeah, I really don't, you know what, I don't need to give that person the time of day anymore because it's not worth it to me. I'm worth so much more. They seem to change their attitude. And that's truly what I feel is the most important thing is to do things with a positive aspect behind it.
I love that, because for me, I feel with the energy and everything now, it's really about us moving out of victimhood, moving out of fear, and moving into understanding the roles we're playing, the roles of the people we have around us, and how to move through those different roles to find and do things that are going to serve us versus taking us down by not understanding the dynamics behind it. And I think what you're doing is absolutely awesome, to have people look at it differently,
thank
get
you.
A different perspective. I love that. And
thank
you know,
you
and
so
there's
much.
Another thing. You are so welcome. I love, you know, that's the thing. I love having people on that are really working to like look at things differently, change people's perspectives, educate people. And I love that you're coming out and saying, yeah, I'm a witch, but you know, you're the witch that's there to help people to find new ways to change their perceptions. And that's one thing I'm just really curious. I know we're starting to run low on time here, but you talk about moon phases and when you create products. Can you kind of just briefly talk about the moon phases and the differences between them and why you choose different phases?
Absolutely. So if you do get a chance to come into my store, I make a handcraft candles. They're teacups. They're beautiful, antique teacups. and I create them during moon phases. So let's say we do them, it's during a new moon, which is considered the black moon. This is when you have no moon in the sky. And it's about roughly 2 weeks after a full moon. So the new moon is like new beginnings. So maybe this is the time that you want to apply for a new job. Maybe you want to bid on a house. Maybe you want to start a new project. Whatever it is that you want to start, something new, okay? New beginnings. So I would create my magical candle or do my magical spells with that intent of a new beginning during the new moon. Now, halfway between the new moon and the full moon is called the first quarter. So when you're at that first quarter moon, you're amping up. Perfect time to do money spells, you know, bringing things into you, abundance into you, that kind of stuff. At the full moon, some people will say it, this is like your heart's content. You know, ask for anything you ever want. You throw it out in there and release it, and it's going to come to you. Well, you can do that, but I encourage you to do it the day before the full moon, because once that full moon hits, you've hit your full capacity. Now you're starting to wane away, go away. So do it the day before the full moon to get the most potential if you want to draw something toward you. I believe
I love that.
On the full moon you release. You release everything. If you are upset about something, release it. Let the universe take care of it. Let it go. You want to, you know, you want to just take a rest and not do anything. It's a great night to not do any magic. You just go outside, stand in the moonlight, even if you can't see it. Stand there. Put your feet into the earth. Into your carpet if you have to be inside, because, you know, we are in Minnesota and it gets cold. So, you know, just whatever. Just pretend your feet are roots growing down into the ground to let go of all the negative energy and all the tired energy. Put your hands up to the sky and drink in the energy of that full moon to revitalize yourself, rejuvenate yourself. It's a great night of rest. And that's a lot, that's pretty opposite of what a lot of people believe in, but that is what I believe. If you give everything to the day before the full moon and send it out there, you're going to do so much better. Rest on the full moon. Then after that, when you go the day after the full moon going toward the dark moon again, that's called a waning. It's going away. From the new moon toward the full moon is waxing, bringing forth, bringing something to you. From the full moon to go to that new moon again, it's pushing it away. Get rid of debt. Get rid of anything that doesn't serve you anymore that you don't want. Get rid of old relationships. Get rid of old icky stuff in your house. Clean it. Cleanse your homes. You know, so many people go out and do smoke cleansing. You can cleanse it with salt water. Mix some salt water out and sprinkle it out and say, I cleanse the house. Open up your windows. Take some incense. Sage your home. Do whatever it is that you need to do to cleanse it and get rid of everything right after that full moon. Get rid of everything and just let it rest. That's your get away from. So when I'm doing healing spells, for somebody who's sick, I'm going to do it between the full moon and the new moon to get rid of their illness. It's a great time for working on medicinal. Great time.
I like that.
I've made candles for trauma, people who are trauma survivors, PTSD, that kind of stuff. And it's great because I'm doing it during that waning moon because it's pushing that energy away for them to heal. Get rid of the icky so that you can heal. Does that make sense to you?
I love that. Absolutely love that. And I know we're running right to the end, and I have more questions.
Yep.
We're going to have to do another one, I think.
Well, that's okay. We can do another episode anytime.
So I just wanted to let people know real quick is that for people to check you out in Stillwater at and check out your MidwestWitcheryHealing.com and that you have learning starting November 1st and the All Hallows Eve seance October 31st and lots more on your website. And I just wanted to thank you for sharing your knowledge and sharing your information to dispel some of the witching, the ideas of what a witch is. I really appreciate it. And I'm wondering if you have anything you want to say before we close.
Just remember, witch means wise woman, and anybody can be a witch. It just means you need to look at the world from outside of the box, not inside the box, because there's other realms, there's other dimensions. There's so much more out there, people, and the energies are real. Stay safe, stay healthy, and if you have questions, don't hesitate. Call me, pop in, send me an email. I'm always happy to answer questions.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I want to remind everybody to make sure to watch the next episode of Edge Talk Radio. They come out on the first and third Tuesdays of the month at 7 p.m. And I wish all of you an absolutely amazing day.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.